Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the privilege we have once again to gather, Lord, in an atmosphere of peace in our nation. We do not take it for granted. We are very grateful. Father, we also thank you for the covering of our spiritual parents that has made this atmosphere, Lord, that created an open heavens over our service here. We are grateful, Father, for all the years of investment that have put in your people, not just in this local body of Christ, but in the body of Christ, Lord, generally. We worship you, Father. My Father, my God, as we go into your word this morning, I recognize that, Lord, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to whom you show mercy. Father, I'm asking for mercy. Mercy, Lord God, to be faithful. The Bible says that it is quietness still that a man be found faithful. To be faithful of the things that my spiritual parents have taught me, that I will teach the same. Lord, help me to speak today as an oracle of God, not to say things that are unnecessary. Help me to redeem the time, Lord, that the word goes forth. Let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, and also in the comfort and love of the Spirit. Because now our wills become more humble, and minds to further enlightened by revelation knowledge of what that comes today, and our emotions to further control and tempered by the power of fruit of the Spirit. I'm trusting you, Father, for mercy to redeem the time as the word goes for. Let go for the power to break yokes, to meet needs, to cause glories to go to the name of Jesus Christ, and blessings to us. Lord, I duck under covering as I share your word this morning. That, Lord, you will hide me like you did Moses behind a cleft of rock. That, Lord, this rock, same rock that I look unto, Lord, this day you use the same to lead us to the expected end for this service. Our Father, we bless you, Lord, just we bless you. Holy Spirit, bless us. Worship your presence in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, or Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. For God's grace will run its full course in and through our weakness. I've been in the book of 1 Timothy for quite some time now. And last, about a week ago, yeah, I believe so, we were in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we spoke from verse 1. Let's put 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I'll just do a brief recap of the things we spoke about by the grace of God. I will move to what God has for us today. Say, this is a true saying. And if a man or a woman desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. And we spoke extensively about that issue of the work. It is not just physical works in which you run up and down. It is spiritual work. And we gave the example of how God himself did his own work. Looking at Genesis chapter 1, you know, verse 2. We know it's done there. You can put it on the board. Just quickly mention it and go on. Where the Bible said the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God moved and brooded over the face of the deep. And we said that is likened to praying or traveling prayer. And then it was after God did that, then he began to speak. And say, let there be light. And there was light. And the Bible says, I was first day, second day, third day, fourth day, until the sixth day when he finished all his work. On the works that I was doing, that Bible says, and Bible says, on the seventh day he rested. And we pointed out that this good work that any man or woman desires can only be done by spiritual labor. You labor in the world, labor in prayer, labor in life, you labor in love. I've talked about, you know, God is not unrighteous to reward work and labor of love. So it's not just physical works, with spiritual work. Said he desires a good work. And we said, our pastor has talked over the years about the work of faith with power. Let's say, God, the work of faith with power. So that's how we do this good work of a bishop. And I said again that being a bishop is not, don't think of it as titles of having congregations of 1,000. It just means a shepherd. You know, just think of it as a shepherd, somebody that is willing to serve, an overseer or superintendent. You know, when oftentimes we talk about bishop, we think about title because of what we see in our nation and the world generally. No, just a shepherd, somebody that wants to do the good work of faith and praise the Lord. And also, we spoke extensively last time about God's responsibility. That there are two aspects to this good work. I said there's God's responsibility. Let's take God's responsibility and the man's responsibility. You see, it's not only God, but the man is also involved. Actually, the book of 1 Timothy is called the pastoral epistle that Paul wrote to his son, Timothy. And you see, we'll be looking at verses 2 downwards today. Last year, last time we spoke about God's responsibility. I said God's responsibility, that God calls a man and then he equips that man to stand in that office. You see, these qualifications here basically refers to those that have been called into fivefold ministry. But also said that if you look at it critically, you discover it also applies to every Christian. Are you following me? So God calls a man and then he sets him in that office. And I said that, look, that's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, it says that are all prophets, it says that God has set some. Ephesians 4:11 says, "For God has set some." And he gave some apostles and prophets. You see, when he says some, that should tell that it's not everybody in the body of Christ that will be called into the fivefold ministry. But I put a proviso, like Pastor has taught us. You see, that does not mean that desire in you to operate in that office, you should lose it. No. Because you see, everybody's calling, including the pastor, the apostle, we are all called to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. So if he's the firstborn, that must be secondborn, that must be thirdborn, until he returns. Are you following me? So the same qualifications that we're going to see today apply to every Christian. So we have no excuse. Are you following me? And we gave the example of talking about ministry, about Paul. One is that God had called him, you know, he said he was born out of due time. And then Jeremiah also, Jeremiah chapter 1. We don't need to turn there. So I said that every serious Christian should also follow after these qualifications. Even though you may not be called into a fivefold ministry office, into public office, like you stand and you preach to people. And we also said, even those that have been called, it's not that the fact that you know that you are called doesn't mean you are going to jump out into ministry the next day. There is a process. I follow him. There's a process of preparation. Even Lord Jesus Christ, when he knew at the age of 12 that he had been called, he said, "No, you know, I must go about my father's business." And the parents, they took him. That is what covering does. You know, because if there's no covering, all the other, those Sanhedrin and all that, they would have killed him. So the parents saw it at that time, and they took him back home. Same thing with Joseph. He had a dream. I know how the long route he went before he began to feel that. So what are we saying? Even though you have this calling to public ministry, are you following me? It is not that you jump out. You have to follow like Elisha followed Elijah. Like Jesus Christ had his own 12. You know, Moses and Joshua. You have examples like that. Are you following me? So there's a time to be trained. You know, before you can begin to reign or to begin to stand in that office, it takes time. It's not something you do immediately. Praise the Lord. So, and you see, if you don't follow that pattern, you find out that that's why many people have made shipwreck of the ministry that God has called them to. Even Paul himself, as I'm just kidding, my heart, immediately he got the revelation that has been called into ministry. He started to preach all over the place, blah, 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 and they were going to kill him. And then somehow, I can't remember, the child packaged him, so to speak, and took him to Tarsus. And he was there for about 14 years. When I came back, after 40 years, I went up of training. So there's a time of training. So also, public ministry training also applies to us as individuals, because you have been called to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. I keep repeating that so that we can have an understanding that I'm talking about this issue, but not only talking about being called to public ministry, but it also applies to us. So we don't shut our minds and say, okay, that is for pastors. It doesn't apply to me. Like I said the other one, I said, do you plan to have two wives? We're going to see as we continue. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? And I mentioned the aspect of not entering into ministry that God has not called you to. I give example of Nadab and Abihu. And I mentioned the scripture. I'll start from there today. Hebrews chapter 5, just to have at the back of our mind, just a brief recap. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. What does it say? It says that, "And no man, including the Lord Jesus Christ, taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." You don't take that honor unto yourself. Next verses. "So also, Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that saith unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee." You don't wander into this thing just anyhow. And I said, while we were talking last time, just came to me, you know, by revelation while I was here, by the grace of the glory of God, under covering, that it's like you ask yourself, why wasn't the judgment so fast, or as fast as we saw in the Old Testament? And I said something, it's like you have a car, and maybe one of the tires is not good, and you don't have an extra tire, and you have a destination to get to. You're not going to start speeding unnecessarily with the car. You have to take it slowly, gently, because you don't have an extra tire. So you have to be managing that tire. And so that is the type of leadership in the church today. So God is just managing the body of Christ gently, with the knowing that he's working gradually towards where it's going to pick up an extra tire or change the four tires. And I said something by the Spirit that day. I said that when God begins to say, hasten the time, that means he has changed the tires. That means they have put new tires there and cannot speed up to our destination or our destiny. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The other example I want to give before we move on is Uzziah. 2 Corinthians chapter 26, verse 16. This was a man, he was a king. He had done so many things for Israel, but he was lifted up with pride. And what did Uzziah do? Uzziah, 2 Corinthians chapter 26, verse 16. What is this? And but when he was strong, his heart was what? Lifted up. We're going to see later on. That's why the Bible says, you said, don't put a novice, lest he be lifted up with pride. You see, it says that, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord, his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Bible says, let every man abide in his own calling. Next verse. And Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, that were valiant men. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And they withstood Uzziah, the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor. No man take this honor unto himself. Follow me. If it will not be to thy honor from the Lord. This is what should be for many people in ministry. Go out of the sanctuary. They should go out of the sanctuary. Because they are merchandising the gospel. They've adulterated it. Let me keep moving. I don't want to preach this morning. Let me just keep moving on. So you see, they said, what happened to this man? God judged him. And they withstood Uzziah. Next verse, please. And Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the what? Leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. That was the end of his story. As I'm talking, another example comes to mind. You don't jump into ministry or leave your office. If you have been called and you started ministration, if you are an evangelist, just stay there. Don't begin to intrude. Like Pastor Kulin was preaching the other day. You know, I have the veil worship from Colossians. Another example comes and says, it's Miriam. Miriam blessed her praise. She was not content. You see, even in ministry gifts, there are ranks and others. So you don't even leave your rank and move to another rank within that same ministry. I begin to say things that God has not shown you. For example, I just mentioned the person. Like Pastor spoke to us about Papa Higgin. When he put his teaching ministry above his prophetic ministry, and almost cost him his life. Does that mean we should be afraid of God? No. Not kind of morbid fear, but reverencing. You see, it's the same thing that you will not want an agriculturist to go and treat your child for malaria. You're not going to take your child there. He's going to kill that child. So if you cannot allow that in the natural, why do you want God to allow it in the spiritual? But yet, a lot of people are doing it today. People have not been called into ministry. Those that even prevent have been called to ministry because of greed. Because they love to be an apostle. Maybe they are just pastors. Let's assume that they are pastors. They put the title of an apostle. And their fruits are not there. Like, I don't want to have time to a pastor. When I was teaching the other day, about the fruit of ministry. They don't have the grace. They don't have the anointing. So begin to say things that God has not said. And lead God's people astray. Okay, so that's what we spoke about the last time. Now today we are going to move on to man's responsibility. Let's look at man's responsibility. We said that God's responsibility. God calls the man and equips him, and he anoints him. When you see a man that is anointed at his preaching, you will know. You can't tell. You will, if it's a pastor, you will know. If it's a teacher, you will know. To glorify God in this house, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to recognize the unction on pastor and mommy, the apostolic and prophetic grace. Unless you are going to be dishonest. You see mommy come, sit down quietly there, hold a small piece of paper, take one scripture and blow it for about 30 minutes. Everybody say, I never saw that before. No, you can't see it because you are not in the office. But I was saying, set some, not all. They have been set in that office. And I come and say, whoever God has set, you cannot upset. Whatever I said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. It's because when you touch that office, or you think you are touching that person, you are touching the office. Like you see the policeman standing on the way. These are not in my notes. And then the man says, stop. Maybe the person is a very short person. I say, get away. Who are you? What can you tell me to stop? You want to collect an hour for me? Eh? Do you know the federal government of Nigeria, Nigerian police is backing him. So every discipline, they will meet it out to you, and you will not escape it. So understand. Now, Paul says, I magnify my office. It's an office. And God doesn't just call anybody. That's why he looks at them. He trains them. Pastor Amor, I've spoken about years of training. If you're ready to go through that, That's where it starts from. The only two businesses that start from the top, like one man of God said some years ago, grave digging and well digging. Every other thing you want to do, you start from the bottom. God takes you like he takes David. He takes you like he took Joseph and takes you to a wilderness experience. Begin to break that pride. Begin to get... Can you imagine God did not train Moses? Over half of... Even after training him, himself did not even go inside. So God takes time. So let us now look at the qualifications. These qualifications too apply to everyone else. So what I would say, man's responsibility, I put it there, can only be kept by the mercy and the grace of God to bear. When I begin to read, you think, it's easy now. If you are not married, say, I'm not married anyway, so I've been keeping. No. The fact that you have not fallen short of these qualifications is because you are under a good covering. Let alone if you go outside. Understand what I'm trying to say? Say many men have chiseling. Strong men, not just ordinary men. Both in the natural and the spiritual, talking about Babylon and the adulterous woman. It's covering that. That's the whole essence. One, for you to fill the ministry we are called to ministry. Two, for you to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't wake up one day with some revelation and then jump out. Even when the glory comes, it's going to be borrowed. So you can't jump and say, the glory has come. Because some people may be waiting first for the glory to party day. Must say freedom. It is not the question of freedom. It is until the appointed time of the Father. So you have to wait. Jesus Christ did not take the honor upon. Can you imagine after all he had done, he had died, he had come back from hell? And the Bible said, why was he made high priest? When he rose from the cross, this day, he said, I had a high priest forever. Can you imagine after going to hell and after coming out, he still humbled himself? If God had said you did not qualify, you have gone back again. Can you imagine? He said, thou art a priest forever. It was that day. He said, this day have I begotten you. That was the day. After all you have done. So what are we saying? Let us do faith and patience. You know, follow those that have inherited the promise. There is no hurry to be in ministry. If you understand what it takes. I work with pastor. I work with mommy. If you understand what it takes. That's something that I just say, God, I thank you. I'm not in charge of this. How am I going to think about this for God's sake? You correct brethren, they get angry with you. It's not easy. In those days, what made me join, you know, when I started serving was when I knew that God had called me out into ministry work. The stories I used to hear, it wasn't because I wanted to preach. Pastor God would tell me about pastor. If you know pastor, he prays, he doesn't pray personal family prayers in the office. He always pray everything. I said, how does he do it? He only prays. He doesn't come to the office and bring a spiritual victory prayer to the office. He doesn't do it. Meanwhile, I'm missing my prayer. I'm looking for a time to go out. Patch it up. You hear stories and stories and stories of them walking in love. I don't have time because we've all experienced this. So what I'm saying, so let me move on to my message for today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I says that if you've been called into ministry, or as you have all been called to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, I say your life or the life of the minister or the saint must reflect the call of God, not only in spiritual equipping, but also in character and conduct. So when you have that equipping, you have that calling, thank God for it. It must be tested. You see, your that anointing, it must reflect in your character and conduct. Because that is actually the qualification. Paul, when he wrote this, he assumed that if you apply to yourself, you must have had the calling. So that by started describing, before you start thinking about becoming a bishop and that desire, God must have put there, you must have known, you must have heard from God. Are you following me? With the assumption that you are going to follow him as Timothy followed him. Are you following me? All those that in the background, all saying, with the assumption of prayer. And that says that, look, after you have that calling, you must start talking about character, which is the same thing as love. Paul said, I show you a more excellent way. You see, if you follow love, we're already doing this thing. So let's read from, you know why? If you don't qualify with your character or you don't deal with those character flaws, it is going to disqualify you or hinder you from reaching the full potential. I have examples in the Bible. Samson is there. Even David. So you see, that's why we've been taught so much. Say, follow after love. Follow after divine love. You see, once you are doing that, as a saint, you can even qualify better than a pastor. Fact. Who is not taking, but you know, he told him, he said, I don't know why I'm not looking at my nose. He said, take it to yourself and unto the doctrine. He was telling his son Timothy. He said, and to the people under you. So you can be a saint sitting out at the back there, perfecting the love of God in your life, and can see a man of God anointed and preaching fire and brimstone. If he does not take heed to his and overcome his character flaws, is either he will not fulfill, get to the fullness of that destiny, or he may not even start at all. Yes, is that serious? Some don't start. Some start and they don't finish. But because of God, what I've been called to do, which is actually conformed to the image of God, we're going to have started already, we're going to finish. Praise the Lord. So let's go to Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Just to put a point behind this. When Paul was talking, he said that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry that which I have obtained of the Lord, put it there on the double, please. Acts chapter, what does he say? But none of these things move me. And I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might what? Finish my course with joy. I won't drop out. And the what? Ministry. Ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I can also say I agree in that ministry. So that means from that scripture, you can see that you can finish and not finish. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What does it say? A bishop then must be blameless. Say blameless. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. You see, you can't leave one and pick the other. You cannot say, okay, I'll be given to hospitality. Then you go and marry your secretary. I said it that way. You see, NIV, put in NIV. NIV, you can say, okay, I'm married to one wife. The standard in the New Testament is very, it says faithful to his wife in NIV. Put it there. Now the overseer must be above reproach. The husband of but one wife. This NIV, they've changed this. God will have mercy. You know, the NIV I have, it says that must be faithful to his wife. And we don't need to go to that other extreme of this other guy. You know, a wife, he says he created male and female. So we can't, don't let's go, it's a distraction. Are you following me? Say, husband or woman. So let's look at it. It says, what does blameless mean? Without fault, innocent, and guiltless. So they must give no grounds for accusation. That's what Amplifying says. That is, they cannot find anything against you. Like Pastor had given the example of Kennedy Hagin. What does he say? It's now a bishop. He says, must give no grounds for accusation, but may above reproach. Your husband of one wife, circumspect, temperate. You can read because of time. What are we saying? It must be above reproach. And how? Let's go back to KJV. It says it must be blameless. Let's say together, blameless. My question is, how can you be blameless? You see, you can be blameless with men for some time, but are you blameless with God? It's a very important question to ask. Because over a period of time, it will show. Now the Bible says, I'm getting ahead of myself. It says that lay hands suddenly on no man. For the sins of some go before them, others come after. So the person can be not be maybe blameless today, but the sins are following him, they're going to overtake him one day. It's like, God help me. I just come into me like, it's like, what's this lady's name? Jacob's wife that took those idols and sat on it. The type of a church that is abhorring idolatry. Nobody knew. Her father did not know. But one way or the other, she never made it to destiny. She died on the way to Bethlehem, Judah. Some people's good works will go before them. It says some after. It says the sins of some will go before them to judgment. But some, you can't escape it unless they repent. How which Rachel have repented? Anyway, help me, that's not part of my notes. How do we become blameless? Philippians chapter 2 verse 12. It is not gaga. It's using the blood, word and spirit. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my and trembling. Walk outward your own salvation. The just shall live by his own faith. With fear and trembling. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For it is what? God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Next verse, as we move on. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. You know, what are we saying? You see, these conditions we are going into, don't just read them and take them as head knowledge. It will take spiritual power by the mercy and the grace of God through prayer to keep them. That is the only way that I can stay with one wife for over 50 years. That is the only way. And that was the only way that Jesus Christ kept himself.
But it was tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. Every temptation that has come upon man and is yet to come, came to our master. But you see him depart into a solid place. Mark 1:35, to go and pray. That is the secret. So, how do you keep yourself blameless? You can see there. It is God that works in you, both will and to do of a good person. As we say, that's right. And you must keep yourself blameless until he comes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. He said, the spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not a question of, okay, I've been blameless now, I've started the work, so I'm okay now. No! You must remain blameless until he comes. Using the blood, word, and spirit, there's no place for retirement in the things of God. After I've been called to public ministry or as a saint, you can't say I've retired now. That is exactly what David did. Bible says, when kings are to go to battle, it said that David did what? Tarsi. Let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 12, verse 14. Second Samuel. Chapter 12, verse 14. Put it in Amplified. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for grace. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. Nevertheless, when Nathan was talking, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, are giving great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to what? Blaspheme. He brought reproach as a man of God. The child that is born to you shall surely die. Now, don't read that. I begin to say, Omashi, let's go back to the root. Mommy will always say, go to the root, don't deal with the branches. The adultery was just a branch. Let's go back to the root. Second Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, Amplified. 11:1. What is it? In the spring, when kings go forth to battle, David sent Joab with his servants and all Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites' country, and David remained still in Jerusalem. King James says, tarry. Winter is past. Springtime has come. It's a day of battle. So I'm not a king yet, but I say you are kings and priests in Christ Jesus. I'm not in any battle. Go and read your Bible properly. In the book of James, he said, where you do have your loss worrying in your members, there's a battle going on in your mind every day, which you must win. That battle David lost was not so much as not going for the physical battle or being in the wrong location, which is part of it. It's because he did not deal with the loss of the flesh, loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. When the enemy fired that dart, he didn't have enough strength to counter it. And I'm asking the question, what were his wives doing? What were his wives doing? Could he have said, what were they doing? There about three or four wives. We'll find out later. Maybe in heaven, I don't know. But I'm saying, it is springtime and kings ought to go to battle. You go to battle every morning. Pray your battle prayer. Don't give room for the enemy. If you give him an inch, he will take 10. So what I was saying, that's what happened to David, and he brought reproach. But you see, Bible says that it should be a man of God should be above reproach. You have reproach in different areas. Just use as an example. I mentioned how you can be above reproach, and you must be blameless unto the coming of Jesus Christ. The next, that same verse says, there must be husband of one wife. I said, faithful to his wife. You can see the example of Solomon. They turned his heart away from God. He may say, okay, I'm married to one wife, so my wife can't turn my heart away. Even one wife can turn your heart away. It's possible. If your wife is not going the same way you're going, you're coming to church today, Jezebel, and she wants to go for one something, the other, opposite direction. That's why you must take time and pray. So you're not fighting an unnecessary battle. If you pick the right person, yoke will be easy. You're not going to pray extra hours of prayer to make your wife come to church. Or pray extra hours of prayer for your husband to come to church. You can spend time doing something else. So what are we saying? If you like, don't say amen. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 17. Deuteronomy 17, 17. What does it say? It says that Deuteronomy 17, 17. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. That means there's a tendency for the wrong woman to turn your heart away. Not just wives now. If it says your heart, woman can turn your heart away, your woman can turn your heart towards. Look at it from the positive sense of view. Mommy and pastor, they always share that pastor when he's strong. Mommy said, honey, get up, you have to go to church. Uh-huh. That's the kind of woman or husband you should desire. Not the one that you are not even feeling, you are feeling strong. And he's saying to you, "Honey, yeah, people can take it easy. Are you following me?" So that is the kind of woman you should marry. The one that will turn your heart towards God. I follow him, not the one that will say, "Honey, this prayer thing is too much." So you may say, "I have not been married." But anything that you are married to, your laptop, your computer, that takes your time away from God, has become your wife. Yeah, so the issue is this. Anything can turn your heart away from God. So if you are married to your laptop or your job or anything, and it takes, turns your heart away, your love starts waxing cold. You better divorce. You are allowed to divorce that laptop. Are you following me? Very important. So, and also says that the person must be hospitable, generous. As you see, as I'm saying these things, I'm not saying that, you see, God is so awesome that when he writes the scripture, in your mind you should be picturing, and you'll be, "No, that's true. I saw this here. It's true." That is the example you have in this. I keep on giving, because it's not because it's a fact. If you are in this house, you know, this house, our spiritual children are very generous. What happened yesterday is part of their generosity. Thank God for his mercies. Pastor Boy Gawa will say, anytime you go to pastor's house, food is free. But please, don't rush there. Yes, it's just that you can't take away. And that's where we're all supposed to get to, like time of Solomon. After they built the temple, they were just sacrificing. Food should not be, before having food and raiment, let's be content. Are you following me? So what are we saying? You see the example, and the best example is Hebrews chapter 13 verse 2. Let's just open and give a scripture to support them. It must be generous. You see, it says that, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And the best example is Abraham. Just mention it. Abraham had the habit of entertaining people. So did that. God the Father, God the Son, and they came to him. He said, "Quick, told Sarah, quick. Oh yeah, took a kid. Oh yeah, quickly. Need whatever they used to do in those days. Get the thing ready. Bring it." And they said they were going. I said, "You can't go. Please, my Lord. Just stay 5 minutes. If it was someone for us, they were going, "Okay, next time." He said, "No, you can't go." Because hidden in that visitation was the promise they had waited for how many years? 25 good years. All because of hospitality. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So he gave to God, and God gave back to him. Or God have pocketed his promise and gone back again. Let's keep reading. And it says that also must be apt to teach. The ability to teach. Notice it did not say preach. There's a difference though. Anybody can. To preach is to proclaim the gospel. But to teach, it takes humility and humble heart. It's like a doctor or a consultant who come and tell you specifics. Okay, you have malaria. You're going to take 4 tablets of Paracetamol in the morning, and then 4 at night. But the regular doctor will just say, "Go and look for any," will mention the base, whatever, and say, "Okay, just take this," which will help but won't solve the problem. So it takes humility to teach. You see, you must be apt to teach. You know, teaching involves giving of wisdom and instruction, and that can only come from fathers. An instructor can tell you what to do. You see, but for you to do it, you need the unction of a father. So he said, "Hold fast unto instruction, for it's your life. Or take that drug at the appointed time, or you should not be well." I'm using the last illustration. And again, there's no point going far. We see what happens every day. Pastor comes, mommy comes, they share with us. They give us this. I don't wake up tomorrow morning and I'm wondering, I'm going to perfect love of God. No, I know that I must take that love book. I must take this confession, take this confession, take this confession. The same way, if I have a headache or any kind of, not God forbid, and I must take this, I'll set my alarm to, if it's 12 minutes, I'll set it to 12 minutes, I'll go and take. I know exactly what to do. So that is why, see, it comes to humility. Of heart, or you can't get it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, amplified. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. What does it say? Amplified. 2:15. "Study and be eager, and do your utmost to present yourself to God," not to man, "approved, tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing, accurately dividing," you know, "rightly handling, and skillfully teaching the word of truth." It takes study. The same way I'm going to go for a seminar. I go and carry different books and I begin to check. So you can give the right meat to God's people so they can grow. Preaching is good, but it's teaching that will take you to your destiny. Because it tells you exactly what to do. You're no more roaming in the wilderness again. That is why God at this time is raising up pastors who are going to teach God's people the word of God. Feed my people. Ezra, okay, let's leave Ezra. Let's just go to Jeremiah 3 because of time. 3:15. That is what God is doing right now. He told you about the change of guards of Samuel replacing Eli and David replacing Saul. Amplify, please. Let's go. And I will give you spiritual shepherds, bishops, overseers. After my own heart, that speaks of David. In the final time, say in the final time, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding and judgment. That means it's not before this time we are in, they were not available. God has reserved the best wine for the last. So when they come, they begin to teach, like an experience, distilled instruction of what to do, how to do it, the wisdom, the how of the how. So nobody has an excuse, not just here. Whoever is watching in the air, you know that this is exactly what I have to do to get to my destiny. Praise the Lord. Verse 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Say, let's re-amplify because of time. It says, not given to wine, not combative, but gentle and considerate. Not quarrelsome, but forbearing and peaceable. Not a lover of money. Insatiable for wealth and ready to obtain it by questionable means. Let's just take it a step at a time. Say, not given to wine. It's not a drunkard. You see, when Paul was talking to Ephesians, you know, I'm not going to talk about why you drink wine or why you don't drink or whether you take a glass. That's not the issue here. The issue is that you must not be a drunkard. Bible says that it is not for kings to drink wine. It says give wine to those that are perishing. The high priest those that don't drink wine. Now, I'm not going to talk about taking wine. That's not the issue. The same Paul said, take some wine for the orphan infirmity. So let's go to issues here. Paul was saying this, instead of getting drunk now, we're talking about getting drunk. Paul brings out the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. He said that be not drunk with wine. Wine is excess. Now, look at what he expects us to do. But be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and incense, spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto the Lord. Then you will now know what the will of the Lord is. Then now follows by submitting one to another in the fear of God. What are we saying? The same way that the natural wine will get somebody drunk, the spiritual wine from the Holy Spirit will start praying in tongues, building up yourself. You're going to get drunk in the Spirit. And then the unction, you start doing things that to walk in love now becomes easy. It now becomes so. Somebody says something that is hurting, you don't feel it again. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Praise the Lord. It says that not combative. He's not talking about his fighting. It's not only for pastors. Though. I don't know why you two want to be combative. Nobody else wants to be combative. Are you following me? To the glory of God, I this message. I thought about the entire church and I could see a lot of people. Majority qualify. Yes, it's a fact. Are you following me? So what does it say? It says that not a lover of money. Okay, strive. It says 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 24. It says the servant of the Lord must not strive, must be gentle, apt to teach, patient and in meekness instructing those who oppose themselves, that peradventure may recover the same for be snared. Who are taken captive by him at his will. It's not only man of God that can be taken captive. Satan can take a sin captive. We all have one destiny. I keep saying it. It's confirmed to me of Jesus Christ. So what applies to bishops there, so to speak, applies to every saint. Strife will drain you of life. Please stop strife immediately. They slap it on the other cheek. Just keep moving on. Lord spoke something from days ago. I can't remember, but a month ago. He said, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, what do you think they will call you? Let me explain so you understand what I'm saying. It's like, if in your interpersonal relationships, your wife, you are finding it difficult to forgive and to move ahead, what will you happen when the glory comes and you are sent out and they carry you and want to go and throw you and put you on CNN and that you're very bad? What are you going to do? And he told me, he said, if you have run with footmen and they weary you, what are you going to do in the fourth of Jordan? I was having an issue then. God said, what is wrong with you? This is training ground for you. Get ready. I will allow as many to come as can come. So when your glory comes and you're manifesting that glory, you will have been trained properly. So don't be offended that somebody said this or did this or
took this away from you, or no, it uses to train us. What's your feel argument? What's your feet and move on? If you are struggling with that, your children didn't greet you, and all these small things that were for your wife didn't cook for you, and you can't pray for 2 days, you are angry. What are you going to do in the fords of Jordan? If you run with footmen and they wear you, what are you going to, when horsemen begin to, what are you going to do? It's training ground, though. So take advantage of it. Perfect the love of God. So he says, they're not a lover of money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says that the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is what? The root. So let's deal with the root. It's called covetousness. I don't want to give many examples there. We can see rampant in the church today. That's why I said what I said later on. He said, these conditions, you can't keep them if you don't pray. It's not possible. That flood will just carry you. Those that are doing it, they did not start that way. Somehow they did not do what Pastor told us to do in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Says that when you become a king, hold this book, write it and read it day and night. They started, but they stopped. That does carry them. I'll give an example, and I will. Let me first of all define covetousness that Pastor gave us. What is covetousness? It's a desire for financial and material possession, not consistent with the will of God, and not commensurate to the level of the prosperity of your soul. I say, beloved, I wish above all things that I may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Hardly is anybody that does not want more. He said, ah, God. But see, what keeps that thing under? It's intercession, prayer, and then top of recovery. So the day you are weak, that thing will not show. Are you following me? The day you are weak, that thing will not show. I give an example of Paul again. He gave me some time. This is one of his books I read some time ago. He said, I was this man of God. He was anointed, because we are talking about ministry gifts here, so to speak. He said he was so anointed, I won't mention his name. He said that they brought 5 people, deaf and dumb, from a state institution to his tent meeting. So I have tent meetings in those days. And they brought 5 people, lo and behold, right to the podium. Baba again said he was at the back. And the man of God immediately laid hands on them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And instantly they started speaking and they could hear. Bros, that is not the spirit I measure. So you can imagine what is coming. Instantly before everybody. So he made that happen. No other man did. I don't want to mention this. I'm not to mention this. There's no point. He stopped the service. Okay, stop. I'm paraphrasing. Stop. Now. Paraphrasing. Don't you think you should give an offering for this? Hey! He said, Papa again said the unction just left him. He didn't know. And he said, people are rushing over, jumping over each other to sow to the so-called anointing. It happens all the time. Thank God we are here. Pastor will say, touch this place. And then you pray. Then you go where you are healed. People take undue advantage. I know what happened. He said, I know what happened to that guy. The guy died prematurely. He never fulfilled his ministry. God sent Kenneth again to him. Sad story. But that was not the perfect will of God. Are you following me? So he must not be a lover of money. You see, that's why when that guy, I think it's in 720 Acts, I can't remember, put in amplifier, just talking. When he came to Peter, wanted to offer him money for the gift of the Spirit, put in amplifier, it's somewhere in Acts chapter 7, verse 20 or so. I can't remember. But he said, Simon's a sorcerer. The way that Peter took it, he didn't take it easy. Put it there just for a minute. I want to mention it. I want to check. He says that it's Acts chapter 7 or something. It was like Peter gave him big time. He can't. Yes. See what he said. But Peter said to him, listen, of destruction overtake your money and you, because you imagined you can obtain the price, the free gift of God with money. So even if they try to do it to you, better know how to speak to them. Don't be gentle about it, though, because they've been sent to make you stumble by Satan. But they'll say, no, don't be easy. Don't say, okay, well, don't worry, let's no. In those days, they tore their clothes. When they prayed, you can imagine with the spirit measure this happening. Paul and Silas, they tore their clothes. I feel over me. The glory belongs to God, though. Please, don't sacrifice. But see it happen today. Rampant in the church. Men taking the glory of God upon themselves. Heal them up right and center. No. I think we have to stop. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. Lord help me. Say, he must what? Rule his own house well.
keeping his children under control with true dignity, commanding their respect in every way and keeping them respectful. That word must there in Hebrew means binding, Greek rather, binding. Say, you must, through much tribulation, it's the same word, enter the kingdom. It is a must. Where said Jesus Christ said, he must needs go through Samaria when I was going to Galilee from Judah. It's binding. You can only do this, he must, before you can qualify. Either for to be a pastor or to be conformed to me of Jesus Christ, so to speak, he can disqualify you. Say, he must rule his own house well, keeping his children under control with true dignity, commanding their respect in every way and keeping them respectful. You see, putting, keeping them under control is not the physical aspect of holding a king. That's part of it. But the Bible says in Psalm 110:2 says, rule in the midst of your enemies, that kind of mind of yourself, that kind of mind of your wife, that kind of mind of your children. You rule, because Bible says in Romans chapter 8, it says that the kind of mind is in enmity with God. It can never please God. Because we are not yet perfect, we have a sin nature. Everybody has a level of carnal mind. And you must rule. You know, when you tell a child, do this, and he says he's not doing it, you can correct him with words. But as you go into the place of prayer, you're on your knees, you begin to intercede. You still have a pause. He said, if you cannot rule your own house and your children, how can you have maybe one child or two or three? And you can't put them in subjection by the Spirit. You now want to rule a congregation of 1,000 people or even two. Bible says that it's faithful in little. So if you have a congregation and all in your house, it is not God that gave you that congregation. Because I've been faithful to that little child, I'll be able to train that child. You know, I'm of the Lord. He says, rule, that's how we rule. I'm going to stop here today. There's so much to say. Help me, Holy Spirit. How do you rule? I said, you rule by the Spirit. So you rule your own house well. You rule your house against satanic attacks. I'll say the enemy, Satan is the enemy. We rest not against flesh and blood, against plans and powers. You also rule your house, you know, by the force of spiritual arms, you subdue that kind of mind. That's how Jesus Christ did it. That Peter, James, and John, whatever he says, these sons of thunder, but we'll go and pray, you suppress that thing, giving them time to grow. Are you following me? So it's not the Canaan alone that does it. That's a part of it. But you must do this before you do the Canaan. Are you following me? So you must do it through intercession daily, like we've been taught, weekly, monthly prayer, with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17. And this is the order. What does it say? And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of a congregation which he goeth to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement. Let's read you. This is the order. First for himself, then for his household, then for the congregation. The congregation comes last too. First for yourself. But Jesus Christ said, you first of all remove the beam in your eye. So you can see Christ. So how do you want to stand for the people of God and go start preaching to them when you have not dealt yourself in the place of prayer in the morning? Now, professor, that does not mean that you are perfect at doing it. But Bible says you keep practicing. God does not demand immediate perfection, but demands immediate perfection. When you stand, you get up again, when you forget. So he said, first for himself, then for his household, himself, his wife and children, and then for all the congregation. But we have reversed the order. We want to come and pray in church first. And we don't want to do a battle prayer at home. It is not, sorry. God will not accept that sacrifice. Or he will not pay you. So I give two examples. I have to stop. To stop. So we can understand clearly. Abraham and David. Genesis chapter 18 verse 19. Thank you. Genesis chapter 18 verse 19. God spoke about Abraham before he had a child. And that was one of the reasons that qualified Abraham. It says, for I know him. Say, I know him. That he will command his children and his household after him. Follow me as I follow Christ. Are you following me? And they shall keep the way of the Lord, which is love, to do what? Justice, judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. That means if Abraham did not command his children, he could have disqualified him. Mama says it's over and over. He will say, your children can disqualify you. How true. Don't be discouraged. Learn to rule. The other example that is not so good is David. 1 Kings chapter 1, as we close. Chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And then Adonijah, Baba, the son of Agith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Speaks of Pentecost. Next verse. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, good looking. And his mother bare him after Absalom. What are we saying? We have seen the example of Abraham. The example of David. David did a lot of things for God, but did not take it to his family. And it affected him. This will not affect us in Jesus' name. He says that at his son Adonijah, in present day context, he just went and grabbed his father's kicker, khaki, or whichever kicker or khaki. And he started the car and started driving up and down the place. And his father saw it and did not correct him. Nothing wrong with your children learning to drive. That's what we are saying. Don't get the wrong message. What we are saying is this. It must be subjection. Go and ask for permission. Daddy, can I take this chariot? Say, no, you can't now. So go and sit down. He said his father had not for once corrected him. Not once. David reigned for 40 years. So maybe he had this child after the age of 30 when he began to reign. Not once. Not once. They can't suffer the way I suffered. Ah! So we saw what happened to Solomon. So in closing, as you stand up to pray, let's ask the Lord for mercy. I need mercy. The race is not to the swift, not the battle to the strong, but whom God shows mercy. These qualifications we have read in part today, you can only do it by the Spirit of God. Whilst you are growing under covering, because what you are releasing is not enough to withstand the force of iniquity in the world. So after you have done that which is your own, God will not top it with covering. So you will not appear outside without reproach. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's talk to the Lord. We have all been called to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these same qualifications apply to us. Yea, much more. The more you are conformed to his image, the more are you going to be pleasing unto him. Let's stand up to our feet. I fix my eyes on you.
I fix my eyes on you, the author of my faith. Casting aside every sin and every way,
I fix my eyes on you.
I lay my burdens down.
Fade away.
One thing
I ask,
Lord,
is one thing I seek, that I may dwell in your house, O Lord, my King.
All the days
of my life,
I want to gaze upon your beauty
and seek you, Lord,
and take you in this holy place.
Lord, as we've been taught, let's put one hand on our heart and the other, let's reach Lord to heaven to trust God for mercy. always recognize it's not of him that willeth, of him that runneth, but of God that showed mercy. God's mercy is available to us, a year of mercy, not to be consumed, to be faithful in our homes, in whatever God has called us to do, and to also triumph. He's pouring out his mercy today. Let's pray as we respond to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I confess our sins, and so we clean them with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, we have life in abundant measure. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today under covering, reminding me of the spiritual qualifications required of me to fulfill the ministry I've called you unto, and also in particular, my destiny in Christ, which is to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I recognize that it can only be done by your mercy and grace through prayer. I come to receive afresh this morning, and I determine also with my heart to follow after perfecting the love of God in my life. As I use the blood, the word, and the spirit, you will walk in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord.